If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Daniel chapter 10? Our subject is the final vision. We're not going to cover the whole vision, just what's in chapter 10. The last three chapters deal with this final vision, and it is an impressive, astonishing revelation that Daniel receives. He's an old man now as he records this chapter. He has served God faithfully for many years, and he is faithful to the end, a good example for us all. He writes, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Now here is Daniel, a prophet of God, one who has been greatly used over the years in delivering his people, in proclaiming the word, in influencing one king after another for good. It's been a powerful ministry. And now he's serving Cyrus the Great, one of the world's greatest rulers in its history. And he is here one of those who are his counselors. Now he receives a revelation, which is a great burden for him. He understood what the revelation was about, and he was mourning. He was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, a prophet's work is not always pleasant. Oh, it's pleasant to serve God, yes. But in this case, it was a vision of disaster, a vision of staggering consequences. And Daniel was deeply disturbed by what he saw. And he didn't understand everything, and part of his burden was that God would further illuminate him. And God does. In verse 4, "In the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel." Now that is the Tigris River. It's over 1,000 miles long. It is a great river, one of the great ones in the world, like our Mississippi. And so he's standing by the shores of this vast river. And as he stands there, verse 5, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." Now, here's a remarkable thing. As Daniel has been praying, he has been interceding with God, he's been praying for specific things. And now, a messenger comes with the answer, and it's plainly an angelic messenger. Now, friends, if we just had eyes to see, probably a good many of us would be flat on the ground in complete shock. The angels are very, very powerful spiritual beings, and they are ministers to God's people, but we don't see them. We oftentimes see the results of their ministry in amazing answers to prayer, but these beings are not visible to the ordinary human eye. And Daniel is here blessed with the ability to see the unseen world. If we just had eyes to see, how different everything would appear. But we are in this kind of fishbowl, and those outside can look in at us, and we can't see too well in the other direction. which is merciful. We would be scared sick if we could see what was there. We are poor little creatures that don't amount to much in the universe. And the beings who are about us are very, very powerful instruments, whether of good or of darkness. And there's a war going on. Now, he goes on to say, in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So here is Daniel just collapsed to the ground at the sight of this tremendous spiritual being. And he just fell forward flat on his face. It wasn't a case that he was able to catch himself with his hands or anything. He just collapsed to the ground. And this angelic being touched him and set him up so that he was in a kind of crouching position. He was still bowed down before this angelic being, but he was in a little better position to see what's going on. And in verse 11, he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now here's an interesting thing. Daniel has been praying. He's been interceding for his people, and he's been praying for days with no answer, no response. But lo and behold, there has been an answer. There has been a response, and he didn't know about it. An angel was sent in response to his prayers. And this being now communes with Daniel, a being of tremendous power, a being that really terrifies Daniel, or he wouldn't have collapsed to the ground this way. But he was sent in mercy to answer his prayers. Now, friends, I wonder, as we pray, whether we consider what we are doing. We are asking the Lord of the universe for something, whatever the burden is. And all too often, God's people pray and don't see an immediate answer and think, well, God just wasn't listening. I better pray louder or again, whatever. And so they keep praying as though God were deaf. Well, God is not deaf. He hears and he understands fully. But we don't understand the obscure place that we occupy in the universe. And the fact that many of our prayers take time, because God, hearing those prayers, may delegate their fulfillment to an angelic being, as he did in this chapter. And the angel comes, and it takes him weeks to get here. Friends, all too often we pray to God, and when the answer is not immediate, we think God is not listening. And we have no comprehension of the complexities of this universe, not merely the physical universe we're in, which is vast enough, but the spiritual universe, which towers above this natural universe. And when God sends a being such as an angel with a specific task to answer a specific prayer, it may take a while for him to get here. And we wonder, thinking, is God just forgetting about us? Does he not care? When the decree has already been given. Now, friends, there's something in Scripture about forsaking our mercies by failing to remember that God is answering them. Sometimes we just get tired and we just decide, well, God isn't interested in this. I'll quit praying about it. That is a major mistake. The fact that a prayer is not immediately answered means that there's some time involved in the answer. It doesn't mean the answer is no. And we generally take it that way and just give up, which is very foolish. Here, Daniel has prayed, and he is not giving up. He is continuing in prayer, and the angelic ministrant comes. And it took him weeks to get there. But Daniel persevered in prayer. He is an excellent lesson for us all. We tend not to persevere in prayer. We make short prayers and expect the answer immediately. And it doesn't work that way. Oftentimes, there are many things that have to be done in preparation for answers to prayer. And God may have already decided, yes, the answer is good. The answer is coming. But it doesn't come immediately. And we get weary waiting for it and think, well, maybe we just give up. That's wrong. It's always wrong. God hears the prayers of his people. But our prayers should be ongoing. We should be persistent in our praying. All too often, we think it's like a telephone conversation. Just, I say this and we get an answer back. And it doesn't work that way. And not that God doesn't hear immediately, but that his servants have a ways to go to accomplish his purpose. And oftentimes, the delegated authority must do all kinds of things to accomplish the fulfillment of that prayer. And we think nothing is happening. That's a shame. We don't have the perception of the larger universe in which we live. We're just thinking in terms of this realm, where if you ask somebody to do this and so on, well, you can do it immediately. He's standing right there. But prayer is a long-distance call. Oh, yes, God is right here. But his presence is manifested elsewhere. And the orders that he gives come from another realm. And the servants who obey and have commission from God to accomplish these things sometimes have a difficult task because there are adversaries. In verse 12, he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." My, here is a powerful angelic being coming by the commission of God to answer Daniel's prayer. And he encounters this prince of the kingdom of Persia. That is not a human being. That is an angelic being who is over a whole kingdom on earth. Did it ever occur to you that there are spiritual principalities for good and for ill that are directing the courses of nations? And that our country, as well as others in the world, have angelic beings that are guiding the direction of the country. And some of them, as this prince of the kingdom of Persia, malign individuals who desire the destruction of God's people and are moving spiritually to accomplish the harm of God's people. Did it ever occur to you that some of the bills introduced into our own government come from satanic sources? Did it ever occur to you that the actions diplomatically of different nations occur because of demonic provocations? Friends, we have all too limited a perception of what this world is all about. It is not just the affairs of men, but of men and angels. There's far more powerful beings at war in this world than merely human armies. Friends, we have to open our eyes to what's in Scripture and recognize that there is a terrible war going on between light and darkness, between God and the devil. And there are numerous powerful spiritual beings who are trying to accomplish disastrous things upon the earth. Don't think that the great plagues that strike, the great accidents that happen, and so on, are all by chance. They are demonic individuals who are securing these occurrences. There are princes on the other side that are working to protect God's people, to accomplish God's purposes in the face of all this chaos that is going on. And what is going on is a war, a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And we are part of the soldiers. Now, friends, it should not surprise any of us that the devil takes shots at us and that things happen that we consider very harmful. We have enemies. In a war, they're trying to kill us. Friends, we've got to recognize this. We are not living in a glass box. We're living on a battlefield. We are targets. And the things that happen oftentimes happen because the devil's emissaries are making it as difficult as possible to thwart the purposes of Almighty God. And on the other hand, there are angelic beings here that are helping us in ways we don't dream of, who are providing for us protection that we don't even know we need, who can provide us with the testimony, the witness that is desperately needed, and oftentimes we're timid about giving it when we shouldn't be. There's an angel there strengthening us. Now, friends, this chapter is useful not merely to record the prophecies of an ancient prophet, but to show us what's going on around us. It's a war, and we're part of it. We're deeply engaged in it. The mere fact that we as Christians meet together as a public testimony of our faith, and the whole community knows about it, that tells you something, that there are enemies who are very sorry to see the success of a church and who are plotting how to diminish its influence. At the same time, we pray that God may accomplish His purpose, that His word may be fulfilled through us. And there's a battle going on. God does see His people and does protect them and does enable their testimony to stand. And it's not just our abilities, it's His blessed grace. And we wonder concerning the angelic beings that are about us, what they are doing to help us succeed in the things of God. We can't know in this realm, but God knows, and He has sent His angels to accomplish His purpose and to work His will, and we are instruments in the hands of God. Friends, we must recognize that we are not here just as tourists wandering through this realm. We're here as soldiers in a war. We're here to bring the victory to God's people that God intends. And every one of us has a part to play in that war. Now, friends, we must recognize the seriousness of our lives. We may not be important as individuals, but we are part of a war that is a war between light and darkness, and it's life or death for the participants. Daniel understood very clearly what his place was in that warfare. He was astonished to see how great were the stakes and how powerful were the warriors on both sides. But he gave himself into the hands of God, and God used him mightily. And through his writings, his testimony is still being used after all these centuries to accomplish God's purpose, to strengthen God's people, to put within their hearts the courage to be good witnesses in the face of opposition and to stand firm in the midst of the attacks of the evil one. He that is with us is greater than he that is with them. It has always been that way, but God's people tend to look at circumstances and fear. Now, there's no grounds for fear. God is going to win. We are in his hands to accomplish his purpose in this generation according to his perfect will. And he is going to see that his will is done. In verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." Now here is Daniel expressing the total shock that he has received in actually seeing part of the unseen world. He has seen this angelic being, and it has just simply wiped him out. He is flat on the ground. And that's why we don't see these creatures. We would be absolutely terrified all the time. But you better believe they're about us, for good or for ill. And they can accomplish all kinds of things in this realm that we can't even imagine. But God is in control, and his purposes are being fulfilled. And Daniel here is privileged to see part of the warfare going on in his own presence, the good angel and the evil angel, and the contest that is going on. "And this man said to him, O man greatly beloved, fear not, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Now, that's very interesting. All the angel has to do is to say, "Be strong." And Daniel is strong. Now, we tend to think in terms of using medicinal qualities to strengthen us and do this and that and the other, but that has no effect on the spiritual strength involved. And that's what Daniel needed. He needed spiritual strength. There was a grand vision that God was going to give to him. was going to stretch over three chapters here. And he had to be strong to receive this and face the evil angels who wished to distract him from what was going on. And the angel imparts to him that strength that he needs with a word. He didn't have to give him special vitamin pill or something like that. He just spoke the word, that's all. And the strength was there. Now, friends, we don't understand the spiritual realm. We think in terms of material things. If you're sick and need to get well, you take some pills and they help you and all of this. But in that realm, all they have to do is speak the word. And the word is something powerful enough to do what no pill on earth can do. And we have to realize that. It's the word. Now, let's get down to the very thing we're looking at here. This book is the word. And we all call it that, don't we? But we're thinking in terms of a revealed word that's now written in words on pages. But this is the word. This is power. Now, friends, we've got to realize this, that as we read this holy book, we are drawing upon the power of God. The scriptures are not just an ancient document. They are the power of God. They are the thing God uses to strengthen his people, to give them the courage and the spiritual ability to accomplish his will in this world. So when we open the pages and read the book, we're not just reading, we're absorbing strength to accomplish God's purpose. That's why we have daily devotions. That's why we open the scriptures regularly and read. Not just so we can say, well, I read the Bible today, you know, I'm a good person. No, it's you don't go to the dinner table and after a few meals, you're crawling around on all fours. I mean, you've got to have food to keep going. In the spiritual realm, it is just as real. If you ignore God's word, you are getting weaker every moment. If you are feasting upon the word, you are getting strength every moment. Now think of that. The idea of just skipping reading Bible today because, you know, we're busy. That's a catastrophe. Very few of us skip meals physically just because we're busy. We somehow make time for it. We know in the long run, we don't eat, we're crawling around, unable to function. So we eat. But here's the spiritual food, which is far more important than the physical food is. You can skip a meal and not hurt too much. You skip the scriptures and you're hurting badly. And we tend not to think that way. But we need to. This book is the power of God unto salvation. This book is the divine revelation that God has given, not merely to help us think properly, but to give us the spiritual strength to stand in the midst of the battle. Now, friends, if you don't absorb this book, you're going to be a sorry soldier. The enemy will be able to get you down easily. But when you are filled with God's word, the enemy can't get you down. The word strengthens you. Now, we must understand that very clearly and understand the absolute necessity of going to this book, not just once in a while, but a matter of daily strength, drinking at the living water, feasting upon the manna that comes from God. This is absolutely essential for our spiritual well-being and for our victory in the warfare. You want to know the reason for why you have a bad day? It's because you're not equipped with the strength needed. There should be no bad days for any Christian. There will be days of conflict. There should be days of victory as well. Because the word is the sword of the Spirit that gives us that victory. And without the word, we're defeated. It's just that simple. Now, friends, Bible reading is not a luxury. It's like eating your three meals a day. Food is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Without it, you die. Without the Scriptures, you're going to shrivel up and just disappear, spiritually speaking. Every one of us need to drink deep at the streams of living water. Every one of us need to feast upon the heavenly manna, filling our souls, our minds, with the powerful Word of God, so that God may use this to strengthen us, to enable us to stand in the midst of the battle, because that's where we are. We're not on vacation in this world. We're in the battle lines. We have spiritual foes who are out to destroy us. And without the armament, the sword of the Spirit, we're going to go down in the battle. Friends, we must recognize how important it is for every one of us to fill our hearts and minds with this powerful book. Every day, the enemy assaults us. Every day, the temptations come. They're always vigilant. I'm afraid we are not always vigilant. We're sitting ducks sometimes because we don't have the Word before us. Daniel understood. He had great spiritual perception. And God enlarged it to the point where he could actually see the conflict going on in the spiritual realm and could recognize those tremendous spiritual beings, which we call angels and demons, and see the struggle that was taking place. It was terrifying for him. He was flat on the ground watching that battle. Friends, we do not have eyes to see. We may be thankful of that. We would be terrified. We do have the Scriptures that tell us the truth. The truth is, we are soldiers in a war. And the enemies we have are vastly stronger than we are. Not just human, but demonic. The demons know exactly what your weaknesses are. They know exactly how to tempt you in the wrong direction. They've done it before. They know it works. Don't think that it's an accident when they return. Remember the resources. Fill your mind and heart with God's precious Word. Crowd out what is wrong by what you know is right. Take the sword of the Spirit and fight. This is a battle. This is mind control. And it's something that we must all be engaged in. You must not allow your mind to be just an open pasture where every animal and every human can just tramp through and fill your mind with whatever garbage they wish to. You belong to God. You have a solemn responsibility to live for Him, to let Him guard your mind through His holy Word, to fill your mind with thoughts of Himself. And that blessed city that He is preparing for us, where the evil can never penetrate, where the minds will always be pure and holy in the presence of God. That's where He's leading us. We aren't there yet. We're in the midst of the battle. And Daniel saw the participants. He was terrified. We would be too if we could see. But we go our way oblivious to the fighting that's going on around us and the persons who are trying to tear us down and others like this angel who are holding us up and we don't even know it. In verse 20, then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now that's a fascinating comment. He's going to fight with the prince of Persia, a demonic being who was prince of Persia. He's not talking about the king. I wonder who the prince of America is. Is there some demonic being who's responsible for the mess we've got in this country? Sounds like it. And here's an angel going to fight with him, to hold back the corruption, to institute God's will. And he has just Michael to be with him. How many others does he face? Well, he doesn't say. A spiritual conflict of staggering proportions. A whole empire under the control of the prince of Persia. Our whole country influenced by the prince of America. Eh? And we don't pray as we should. And we think that our vote in the elections is not important. We think that our testimony in the neighborhood is irrelevant. Now, all of it counts. All of it is part of the war that is going on. And we need to be on the right side, armed with the sword of the Spirit, standing for the Lord and His word and His will, making our voice heard. And yes, expecting the war. It is on. It will be on until the Lord comes back. There is no truce. He concludes the chapter by saying, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." Yes, the Scripture of truth is what we hold in our hands. This is the book that tells us about reality. This is what the universe is all about. It is not about man's imaginations. It's about God and the war between light and darkness. And the angels of God ministering to His people. And the fallen angels trying to destroy us day after day. And the war continues. Friends, we should take very seriously what this book teaches. We need the strength and protection of God. We need His grace. We need His holy word. We need to fill our minds with it, to crowd out the influences of the world, to give us the spiritual backbone that we need to face the old evil foe. And to say, "Yes, thus saith the Lord, the Scripture says this, and I will stand for it." Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us for being careless about the things of God. Forgive us for looking on the outward appearance and not seeing the reality of what is going on in the world. Give us eyes to see, Lord. And give us a heart for Thy word, that we may keep filling our minds with this blessed book. Strengthen us through this book, O Lord, and help us that we may stand for what is right. We may have the courage that we need to face the evil foes. And we ask that Thou wilt indeed have mercy upon our country. Have mercy upon our leaders, that they may listen to the truth of Thy word rather than just political expediency. Help us, O Lord, that we as Thy people may be a testimony for Thee in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Make us good soldiers for Thee. Help us to use the sword of the Spirit. Give us by Thy grace victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in His name. Amen.